Yesterday we went very quick. We finished the entire Simin Chof Tes. All the laws of the Midos, good Midos that a person should accustom, but we did not do any of the Shi'onim Mitzuyonim Behalachas. Let's run through only a few of them. The Shi'onim Mitzuyonim Behalachas. Let's start with Gimel. It's on page Kuf Samach Zayin. Page Kuf Samach Zayin on the bottom. Gimel. Baal Tzichayk Umaha Solos. A person should not have an attitude of laughter. Should not laugh and make mockery. Isa B'shas. Also La'odam L'malei Tzichayk Piv. It's forbidden for a person in this world to open his mouth with laughter. A person should not be too happy in our time. It's because we are in Golos. Now, what exactly does that mean? Page Kuf Samach Zayin on the bottom. Gimel. Halacha Gimel. Baal Tzchoik Masolos Is V'Shas Oso La'odam L'malei Tzchoik Piv. Near the Dafka L'malei Tzchoik Piv Avo La'avar Tzchoik Kal Al Sfosav Einisr. This, don't take the Gemara literally. Don't say that it's forbidden that it's done to a person to laugh. That's certainly not true. A little bit you can joke around. Don't joke around too much. Don't make a habit. What?
In the future, you'll be Molei Schog Pino.
People in Chazal are very nizar. Even this, you should not even laugh a little bit. A person should not even smile. Don't be in Golas. Don't get carried away. The Gemara tells the famous story with Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeir. They had a very different view of the world. Rabbi Yirmiyah was always laughing, making jokes. And Rabbi Zeir was a sad person, was a very serious person. And they always, Rabbi Yirmiyah was always trying to get Rabbi Zeir to laugh. And it never worked. He was always unable to succeed in getting Rabbi Zeir to laugh. Of course, Rabbi Rashi, Rabbi Zeir hayo machmir tfei. Rabbi Zeir was extremely machmir. He never smiled. The afilu sechay greda beloy milui pen nami loy sach. Even a little smile, he did not. Even a small laugh, he did not bring forth. He almost was killed in Purim. I don't know. Good point. Umashma, it's mashma. Rabbi Yirmiyah lo hayo makbid al tzchoik kal. So over here is showing us is that this approach to life, to what degree should a person joke around in life, dates back to the time of the Amoraim between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Yirmiyah held that a life person should have a good time, and Rabbi Zeir held the person in life should be very serious. You know, you talk about different types of yeshivas, Narvardik and Slobodka, the mash, the gadlus adam, and Narvardik, the shiflus adam. It's a whole different approach.
Cuts.
Right, different approach to life. With a shas isad, Rabbi Havi Makbich lo disa klamus. The Gemara tells that Rabbeinu Hakadosh is also very makbich not to live at all. With a shas isad, the Hanani Mishav Azaryo hoyu insin atzmam minaschoik b'sha shohayu lufnei hamelach. We learned this. That was one of the things that they trained themselves to do when they were by the Nebuchadnezzar. They learned how to control their emotions. Then in the presence of the king, you never laugh. I will ever go visit the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C. by the tomb of the unknown soldier. So those soldiers are very serious. They don't twitch. When I was a kid, we went there, so we went to Pirchei Gruf.
So these Bobby,
they're very, they always, I remember they tried. I went on a Pirchei trip when I was a little kid to Washington. It was a great experience, and the guys there were wild kids, a whole bunch of wild kids. And a whole group of them were trying very hard. It was Chil Hashem to make the guard, to make him laugh. And they were making jokes and making faces, and he wouldn't laugh. And at one point, he really scared the daylights out because, you know, everything is so routine. They're so like a machine.
He has a gun.
And all of a sudden, he left his station and he came over, like, of course, marching. They probably have a script what to say, and he was basically screaming at us and saying, "You have to show respect. You're here in a place, a sacred place. This is a grave site. Unknown soldier, how dare you make jokes?" And I'm sure this is probably part of the script. But he also, we were not expecting him, because you know he just goes back and forth, and doesn't do anything, and you can look at him, you can make all these faces. But at one point in time, this is what Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah trained themselves to do in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, not to twitch, no matter what happened, they control themselves. Now that's not a parsha on the Gemara, because we learned the Gemara, you learn the Pesuk in there, we learn that it means they control themselves, it means they control themselves not to have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Which is something which has to be studied scientifically. Every healthy person has to go to Beis HaKisei every so often. But it appears that you can train your body to some extreme, some technique where you don't have to go to the Beis HaKisei for a very long period of time. What?
You went in the morning.
So in a Hanani, it's a certain technique that a person has to, I guess you have to control the mind, the body. And that is what they specialized in. That's not the way he's learning Pshat in the Gemara. He's learning Pshat in the Gemara when Hananya and Mishael Azariah control themselves in front of the king. Doesn't only mean they control themselves not to have to go to the Beis HaKisei. They control their emotions. If something was funny or something was sad, they did not cry, they did not laugh. I mean, actually, if you're sitting in front of the king, if you're a guard in front of the king and things are happening the entire day, you see a lot of... Tsaras, you see a lot of happy things. A person, a normal, healthy person, has emotions. No, that's what it means. They did not laugh at all. Now here comes his diyuk. Only lifnei hamelech they control themselves, but it's mashma not in the presence of the king. They were regular happy people. They smiled. If you want to earn the title of a chover, learn the Gemara. They were chaverim. A chaver is loy nechshad chazak al chaver shlo yetsi dava shlo misuk mitachas yado. It was a certain smicha. You don't, not everyone was called a chaver. If you wanted the title chaver, which gave you certain rights in society, you had certain honor was granted to people who were in the category of chaverim. You had to get a degree. You had to have like a smichas chachamim. To get the title chaver, you had to train yourself not to laugh. That's what it says. No joking around. V'ayim b'mishnah, d'haroitze lihiyos chaver, lo yehi parutz b'schoik, u'mashma, d'davka parutz, the term that Chazal uses to a breach, which means excessive laughter. But the Mishnah, there's another Mishnah that says that tzchoik the kalas roish margilin esa adam la'erva. V'yev shel farish t'shneim b'yachad, that it's not a kasha, a small amount of tzchoik with kalas roish. That is what the margilin le'erva. But the loy tzrech greida, the haynu tzrech. So basically, just going in circles, just basically saying there are two different parts of life, a little laughter, a lot of laughter. What's the problem? Halacha life, should a person be very serious? It all depends on the person. Obviously, we're not knowing. If you're too serious, it's not too good. In today's society, it's not good for shaduchim if they tell you that he's very, very serious. You have to be a little loose to make a good impression. One thing just struck my mind when I learned this is there was an article, there was a whole issue in Jewish Action, if I'm not mistaken, about a new business today. People are becoming comedians. Right? Is that correct publication? Was it Jewish Action or was the National Council Jewish Action? What?
The Yatar who was killed in Israel was taking a medical clown course.
A medical clown course, right? So I don't remember if I even read the article. I just glanced at the cover.
Batchan.
So that's a very interesting thing. Where your whole specialty in life, it's very interesting that they describe people have a profession. It's a new profession to be. Today Jews are chalishing for some type of entertainment because all of the secular entertainment is getting worse and worse. It used to be years ago. What do you do to get rid of your kids? You gotta turn on the television. It was the best thing to distract. If you have to do something in the house and your kids are running around, what do you do with them? Just turn on the television. They'll be glued to the television for 2-3 hours, and it's the best babysitter in the world. It was a tremendous thing to get rid of kids. Today, I remember when we went to a Sheva Brachas, and I remember one of my cousins. So She we had a lot of kids at the Sheva Brachos, and it was a very chosh for Sheva Brachos, to a chosh for Rabbonim, and there were like probably 10 of us, so we were all very little, and we were running around making a lot of trouble, and they didn't know what to do with us. So the mother of my cousin, one of my mother's cousin, she took us all into the bedroom, and she turned on the television, and she said, just watch television, just behave yourselves, we're having Sheva Brachos, there are some very important speeches, some Rabbonim. And we all sat there glued to the television. So first, it was, I remember it was the first, she turned on some type of, you know, children's programming. And then I remember very clearly, the program was over very shortly, about a half an hour. And then started some dirty movie. Yeah, how dirty could it have been already? Talking over here a long time ago, dealing with television, it wasn't exactly very late at night, how have you, but it wasn't exactly very clean. And I remember one of my cousins was glued. I remember him. He was glued to the screen.
I hope he doesn't hear the tape.
And we were all sitting there watching television, Jewish, and it was a great. Then my friend told me the same thing, that his parents had a lot of kids, and it was Friday. And remember, he told me it used to be Friday afternoon. His mother wanted to be clean for Shabbos, ready for Shabbos, and she had all these little kids, and she was going out of her head. So what she do? She turned on the television, and all the kids were glued to the television, and that kept them quiet, and she can cook and prepare for Shabbos. Today, you can't do that anymore, because today television has really gone off the deep end. So people are halshing for some type of Jewish entertainment. So they have videos, but the videos get very boring. How many times can you watch Uncle Moshe already? All the videos. So people are halshing for Jewish entertainment. It became an industry. And that was what this article was all about people who specialize in Jewish entertainment becoming stand-up comedians. But it's very striking that that's not so simple, because to make it a profession, to become a comedian of entertainment, is really borders on the issue of also la'adam il-malei s'choik piv b'lamazeh. So it's one thing to do it as a side job, a side gig, but to make this your whole essence, your whole life, this is what my life is all about, to be a comedian, to be involved in Jewish entertainment. All right, yesh v'yesh, you have to know where to draw the line. This is a very important halacha here in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What? Where do you draw the line? This is a very, there is such a halacha, also la'adam l'malei s'chok piv bo'olam hazeh. To make this into your, to choose a career path, that this is what your profession is, to make, you have to know, is it the right thing to do? Chazal tell us that comedians, they have a chayek olam haba. To make, there's no greater mitzvah than making someone happy. To make someone happy, the Gemara tells us there was a marketplace, and the Amoraim, they said, well, who in this market has a chayek in olam haba? You can be certain, comedians. Because the comedians bring simcha to other people. And there's no greater mitzvah than bringing someone simcha. But where does that stand, that concept that halacha stand, when you also take into consideration osur la'adam l'malei s'choik piv bo'olam hazeh? It's an interesting topic to delve into. Yeah. Milsa, we learned that. Milsa b'bichusa, a small joke. But I'm talking about over here l'malei s'choik. L'malei, where it becomes the ikur. Everything in life is a joke. Everything is a joke. That is also. Life is serious. You have to have some entertainment here and there to cheer you up. But you can't make it into the ikur. Let's go to this halacha dalu. Kolacham Yishol Kigufa. Yeah. Article, yeah. Menachem, that was the whole thing? I didn't read the article. Menachem, okay.
That's different.
But no, it was more. I think it was more to it.
The hospitals and cheer up the kids.
Absolutely. I know someone that goes every day to sing. He's a professional singer. His name is Ruben Gerber. He goes almost every day to patients, private patients, and he sings for them. He does incredible work. Gemara says, who has a chelek in olam haba? Comedians. Because comedians bring simcha. But again, you have to take into consideration when it says here in the Gemara, Osir la'adam l'malei s'choik piv b'olam hazeh. Next halacha, halacha dalu. Kol lechem Yisrael gufay. Every person has to yitrika gufay. Perishu ha'mefarshim de'ein ha'kavon ha'shem m'chuyiv l'turech ba'ad chaver k'moshim m'trich l'atzmo. You don't have to treat another person exactly the way you treat yourself. You don't have to go do for him like what you do for yourself. That's impossible. I'll prove to you that it's impossible, because it says in Chazal, v'yohafta l'reyacha k'mocha. Chazal darshan from this pasuk, b'ror lo misayofa. When it comes to Misa Spezdin, or Dalid Miso Spezdin, So Chazal, how do you kill a person? There was a whole discussion, Sreifa. What do? You put a person, do you make a pyre and you throw someone into the fire? The Gemara says, no, that's not what it says. In the past, the Gemara, at least, you can, I don't remember the whole Gemara, but the Gemara at some point says, you have to do it in a way where it's pleasant. It's pleasant.
Don't disfigure the body.
Right? Why? Because you have to, l'reach al-kamocha. If you have a choice, if you go and you would have a whole list of possibilities of how to die through the concept of Sreifa, if it was you, you would want it to be done in the most pleasant, the least painful way. So when it comes to your friend, so also select for him a nisa yafa, a pleasant way of dying. Now, and how do you know that? V'yohafta l'reach al-kamocha. So the Mefarshim ask, what? That's what the pasuk is telling you. From all the different things you can use, v'yohafta l'reach al-kamocha, you're using it for death? Let's talk about life. There's before you get to death, there's a whole life ahead of you. So person should try to love his friend kamocha in life, in this world. And the answer I once saw is because it's impossible. It is humanly impossible to love someone like you love yourself. That's the way it is. It's built into a person's DNA. You love yourself more than you love someone else. No matter how much you're in love with someone, or you appreciate, it never will come to the subconscious love and care you have for yourself. So the only way you can relate to your friend equally is when you're dealing with the other world. Nisa yafa. Because nisa is something that you don't relate to yourself either. And your friend, you don't understand what's going to happen to his neshama when he dies at the moment of death. Mis is something which you can remove yourself from because you're in this world and living. You're not among the dead. When you're dealing with something of misa, that's abstract. You're removing the negius. Then you can say you should treat your friend equal to the way you want to be treated. But in this world, in life, impossible. So that's exactly what he says over here. We have over here in this halacha and kishruch marach that you should treat your friend like you treat yourself. He says it's impossible to treat your friend like you treat yourself, and you're not even mechuyif. You're not mechuyif to do for your friend what you will do for yourself. It just means do the best you can do. Have some degree of sensitivity.
You have to see that with the soldiers that throw themselves on bombs.
People give up their lives to other people. So you ask me a question that if you give up your life, if a mother would give up her life for her child, that automatically means that she loves her child more than she loves herself. That's true and not true. She's making a self-sacrifice. She's overcoming the love she has for herself for the greater good. But it does not mean that she actually loves her child more than she loves herself. I hear the question, but I'm telling...
It's not a question. It goes along to supporting what you said.
The child is an extension of
herself. She already gives up what she's saying. The soldier gives up his life. He knows he's going to die. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he throws himself on the bomb.
But let's say he doesn't have to die. Let's say you have a choice. There are many stories in history and life where people, they sacrifice themselves for someone else. They give up their lives. Oh, but we have to echo kamocha. There's more to it because they're making calculations. How could I live with myself the rest of my life, knowing that I could have given up my life? There is the thought process, but naturally built into a human being, the fact that you are here, there is a natural love a person has for himself more than his friend. So it's impossible to be mekayim what it says in the Torah of Yehafta, love. One thing we're dealing with, maisim, do things, okay, but love, l'reach kamocha. The Torah is asking you to do the impossible. That's why Chazal say, don't interpret this in reference to living, where you're no gea bedover. Interpret this in reference to death, where you're not no gea bedover. Okay, the Vart is not a perfect Vart, but there is something to it. Yeah.
There's a very interesting Shaila. I don't remember all the details. It was a pregnant woman, and she got into an accident, or whatever. It was the last month or the last week. And they knew if they would take out the baby, she would die. If they wouldn't take out the baby, she might live, but she would die soon after. And they didn't know what to do. And the Rabbana asked him that the mother herself would want that the baby survive and not she.
So that live rotate.
So yeah. So they actually took the baby out, and they knew the mother was
going to die. Okay, that's very.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But Sometimes there is.
There is such a concept. Okay, there is. Okay, you have to know what this means. I don't know, but I just want to point out maybe the point he makes mention over here that it's physically impossible. Chayechah. Now he look at v'chol ashayitin l'chaveri d'chol amri chazal. Third line from the top. Chayechah koydmin. Avol b'chol advar mishalred zelatzmoi. Yachbet skam l'rei euhin b'brias haguf hein b'yoshev hein b'chokma oy b'chovod v'lo yelo midas hakina. A person just should be sensitive. Just like you want cover, make sure your friend has some cover. Give him some food. Give him some good things in life. Oyshev v'chovod v'lo yelo midas hakina. Not be jealous. Im ein loy kol advar hanal gam l'chaveri lo yeh. There should not be any jealousy that if you're not going to have these things, he also should not have. Unless halacha, hey, if you have to l'recha kamocha, e gam goy bichlal rei. What about a goy? Does this principle apply to a goy? I am itaisves marsha maram sham. This field leila itaisves the gam goy bichlal rei. A goy is also called rei, who is part of the tselem elokim. Of the muke yosef sham kasev the goy la bichlal rei. He disagrees. Machlokes. The I am prim godim sheherich bezev. I am the sefer mitzvah is a shem le harav hagoyin. Rabbi Yonason Steif. The Zeh Davko in the Kaim Hasheva Mitzvahs. The only time there is a pas, the question begins if a goy is Bechlal Re'eyu, is at least if the goy is Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach Shem Usomochem Avalim in Mekayim Hasheva Mitzvahs Lo Yodim Yisrael She'ein Einoy Mekayim Mitzvahs, because he's no better than a Jew. If a Jew is not Oysa Maisa Amcha, if a Jew is an Avarion, you're not Mechuyiv to love him. So too a goy does not do what he's supposed to do, you're not Mechuyiv to love him, to be good to him. Avalim in Mekayim Hasheva Mitzvahs Lo Yodim Yisrael She'ein She'im Einoy Mekayim Mitzvah Torah, mitzvah lisnoi. So a Jew that's not a kind of is a mitzvah to hate him. The king chosaf harambam. They have to recha kamocha haynu liachicha. They have to be Torah mitzvah. He has to be your brother in Torah mitzvah. Observe it. No, that's of course that you mechuyev to love. That's pasha. Tinim shenishba is not called navarian. Navarian is someone that's lahaches, someone that's not his fault. Of course, you mechuyev to love. Many people say that today all the conservative reform Jews, every single one of them, kemat has the status of a tinoik shenishba, and you're not allowed. What?
What about their leaders?
Depends on the leaders. Some yes, some not. Some of the leaders were already living how many generations since it all started. Some of the leaders are also together. Some of them are real. Okay, they are. You'll always find exceptions. You'll always find the lahachasniks. He's also attending Shanishpa.
No.
Ruba
the
Ruba.
Their congregants are Tina.
The Rabbonim, it depends. Some do, some don't. It all depends. The early ones were lahachas. Today it's hard to find a conservative rabbi that's a real lahachas.
You don't have to go conservative. Yeshiva Ali Torah. I've had some people who also not everyone. I'm making a general.
Okay. Let's go further. Let's not talk lashon hara. L'saper b'shvachai. Ayin b'shvachai shuvus ma'isa ish lahagoyin. Rab Elishar. I don't know who this is. Shnishal mashonagu l'tayr tayrim gedolim i'ein boi mishum chanufa. Are you allowed to write harav, hagoyin, hagodol, asar, hatayra, rabban, shalkol b'nei hagoyla, hagoyil? Are these titles all nonsense? I'ein boi mishum chanuf v'helosham de'im hu ish ra malolim shemonu Hashem mechvod yesh boi mishum chanuf. If you give a person the title of a rabbi, you give a person a title of honor, a person that's not a good person, a bad person. You give him cover by a dinner. You go to this is a very big issue when it comes to politicians. This is a very big controversy to vote zichanufa, to vote for a politician that supports, let's say, same gender marriage, things like that. Do they do these things? So there was a lot of discussion about this a couple of years ago. There was a great, great, very good write-up in, I think it was either Mishpacha magazine or Ami magazine, and they presented both sides of the coin, both the opinions. If you should vote for support political candidates that support, let's say, things which the Torah views as a to'eva, because they're good for us. They're very good generally. The things that they want to give the community, money. They want to support all the give money to all the yeshivas, so they want to do. Do we overlook the fact that they also support things which the Torah considers to be a to'eva? This is a very big issue in the governor in New Jersey. And there was a divide among the poskim, among the Rosh Yeshiva and the poskim, mamish, right down the middle, what is Das Torah in regard to this issue?
It was not a halachic discussion, it was a Das Torah discussion, which was basically a political discussion.
That, the
thing
so,
was Das Torah is...
I don't know, dealing with big people, dealing with so Feinstein had a very strong opinion, and you had the Rosh Yeshiva Lakewood. We're dealing with people that are recognized as being the Gedolei Yisrael.
Absolutely,
and they,
not. I'm sorry I disagree with that, because you can't come out and say you've got to vote for this guy.
I don't know the deal, but it's good for them,
it has to be impartial. That's why you usually have three people.
But all they did was point out the pros and cons of each candidate. That's what they did in the end.
They did more than that.
Well, there's an extremely complex issue and there's no resolution. The point of it, he's just talking about, is there a din chanufa by going and voting for someone, and let's say chanifa, flattery. Is there a prohibition? You're not allowed to flatter because people learn from their evil ways. If you flatter a person that is a Russia, then people, oh, he's a good guy, he must be 100% good, let's go learn from everything he supports. So it's a very touchy issue. There's no such thing as a perfect candidate. Every single candidate, there are major flaws, and the question is, where do you draw the line? And there are many opinions among the Gedolei Yisrael throughout the world how to deal with these issues, and there is no consensus, there is no agreement among the Gedolei Yisrael on what to do.
You can recommend, it's like,
okay, that's all part. So you're telling people to make their own decision. But let's say you have a yeshiva. He just won. Well, what's his name? What's his name that just won one someone just won in a recent election. The people they invite different politicians to different dinners
and they invite.
So when you invite a politician, the person in charge has to give him some cover. You have to say some nice things. It's one thing when you want to go, when you want to give an endorsement. Giving an endorsement, you're not necessarily. You're not necessarily condoning all of his policies. We have to vote for someone. You have to vote. So this candidate appears, it's not necessarily giving praise. But when a politician comes into your community, it's only derech eretz that when you introduce him, you have to say nice things. You have a political candidate comes into a shuv hashal l'shudis. If you're not going to go say nice things, it's a chil Hashem. But when you're going to say nice things about him, what he's done for the community, that is a violation of chanifa when he also supports things the Torah views as averos. This is a touchy topic which is no answer for. Let's go further. Lasaper, he mentioned over here the din of Mishum Chanufa. Avalim, who ish yosher, ain lachush, but there's no harm. You see all these haskamas, these rabbanim, they give, Rav Moshe used to give haskamas to everyone. Rav Moshe didn't hold back. There was a person who Rav Moshe gave haskamas to, and then he wrote that, Bizman Azeh, people should marry Palakshim. You know about this story?
Yeah.
People should marry Palaksha. So they say, Rav Moshe, how do you give a haskam on your sefer? And you wrote Haraf Hagoyin. He writes in the sefer, a whole chapter, that he advocates people should take Palaksha. I didn't know he wrote this in the sefer. Rav Moshe gave him kavod. But that's the time of the Beisham Hashem Lachem Lachazal Lestakin Lazkik. Loimash Sheker. This goes back to a sugya Masechta Shabbos. When Masechta Ksubis, when you dance in front of the kala, what do you say about the kala? Do you say the kala is the kala no the chasud, even though she's not exactly a beautiful kala? You're allowed to lie mibnei darkei shalom. So how far does that go? Michal de Beisil tikni chazal
lemezem. Or you're allowed to not told the truth.
No, you're allowed to be quiet.
Uveshidim ikubetzes kasu shnei pedushim b'had. Yomer chazal shetei daitu shalom miureves imabrius el shechayv l'shabeach abrius. What does it mean shedaitu miureves imabrius? So the shidim ikubetzes gives two explanations. The first explanation is shechayv l'shabeach abrius. Would you believe that? You know what it means shedaitu miureves? It means you have to give praise. You have to say nice things about a person. Av she'ein hashevach bohem, even though it's not true. As Shimon Kubetzas, a Rishon. You have to live a life of lies. Give a person a compliment. You know, you spoke very well. You davened very nice.
Relative, right? You can tell the kala, you look great.
No, that.
And what's not said compared to the way you usually look.
That's by a kala. But let's talk about when it's not a kala. So the Shulchan Aruch Mikubet says, when it says in Chazal, it's an incredible chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch Mikubet says. It says, a person should be daita mureves im habriyos. The Shulchan Aruch Mikubet says, a person should lie. A person davens for the Omer, davens Musaf. He has a yard site this week, and he davens Musaf, and he comes down from the Bima, from the Omer, and say, what a beautiful davening. It wasn't exactly, but you want to make him feel good so you can lie. What a gvaldke dvar Torah. So then, why is it achan? You're living a life of a lie. Avsh ena shavach. Shute adaita nechon abriyas kadei shikad shikadei avsh ena shavachan beis. What's the second interpretation? He has another interpretation. Shehei daita nechon abriyas kadei sheyikalsu oisoi kmoshim kalsim akala avsh ena haguna kol kach v'lo yikalsu oisoi avsh ena haguna kol kach. In other words, don't go. The other interpretation is just don't overdo it. So the second interpretation is it just means that you should be polite, but it does not necessarily mean you should lie. The Helasham Shemutu Lohaisa Vitor Haver Avshain Kedai Kokach the Ebizach and Chanufa, you're allowed to lie a little bit. And yes, Shemu Kabet says. And in fact, that's what's said when it comes to Shaduch. If you go to the person, you say the truth about a person, they'll never get married. You have to lie a little bit because they're expecting a little bit of a lie.
If you discount
they discount. If you're going, if your baseline is going to be accurate, then they're going to assume, oh no, this guy, stay far away. So you have to lie just a little bit. I don't know what that is. She'er sham l'misha sh'atil l'shamil l'shatar l'maran ha'chacham ha'mufla. He writes, l'maran ha'chacham b'mufla, the wondrous one. Who can you say that about today? Shu toyar she'en nog bizmanenu b'shal shuvus chayim shol kosta d'b'chol zman tzorech l'tar ha'chacham yifi ha'toyrem ha'noyegi bizman. But let me give you an example. This something was shocking to me. Okay, I was involved in writing something for someone in Eretz Yisrael. We're writing something about a person. So we wrote about him. He was the child of a very, very great person. Harav Hagoyin so and so, and it was given to an editor. And the editor sent back the article, and the article was in Eretz Yisrael. It was written in Hebrew. And he sent back, you have to change it. He changed it to Hagoin Hagodol. Hagoin Hagodol. I said, what? What does this mean? Hagoin Hagodol. So he said, you're 20 years behind the times.
You don't use that
he says, today, in Eretz Yisrael, today, a 30-year-old kid who learns in Kollel is called Harav Hagon. That's the way it is. Inflation. He says to me, inflation. Years ago, 50 years ago, no one would dare be called, you would never call by a wedding, a 30-year-old guy, Harav Hagon. He is a Rosh Kollel. He has a Kollel of 5 people. Oh, Harav Hagon, so-and-so. You wouldn't dare do that. Who would you call Harav Hagon? The real Russia yeshiva from the pre-war, the survivors, the She'eris HaPleita who survived the war, came to Eretz Yisrael, who were in their that's who you would call Harav Hagon. Today, it's a new generation. It's 50 years later, there's inflation. Every 30-year-old kid is called a Rav Hagon. So what do you call the people that are, what has become the custom here in Eretz Yisrael? That's what he told me in Eretz Yisrael. Check it out, the facts. Ask your children or your grandchildren living in Eretz Yisrael, what do you call the real Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael? Hagon Hagodol. So this person that you're referring to is from the real people. We know who he is. And therefore, when you're describing this, you have to write, today, based upon the rules of inflation, Hagon Hagodol. So I said to him, I don't care. This article is not being written for the people in Eretz Yisrael. It's being written, even though it's true, it's going to be printed there, but it's being the people that are going to be reading this in Eretz Yisrael are the old-timers who are the Americans who don't really look at it like that. So he says to me, you're wrong. That's the people who are living there. That's how they view it. But if you don't want to do it, I understand. So we have to make a pshara. So he explained to me, this is a shocking thing that these things are. He explained to me all of the madregos. The lowest madrega is Reb. That means you're on nothing. You're not a chorus, right? Reb Shmerl. A name is your subhuman.
Subhuman.
Then Reb. A Rebbe is you're not Bikoyrus. Reb saw Reb Shmerel. Then Harav. Okay, that's already in Madrega. Harav Hagoin means you're in Koilo. Oh, not bad. You're in Koilo. You call Harav Hagoin. Then he said to me, the next Madrega, this is very interesting, is he said, is Hagoin, Harav Hagoin, and Hagoin Hagodol. Okay? Listen, this is Hagoin Hagodol. And then he said to me, Rebbe is even higher. That's how it's accepted in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe is even higher than Hagoin Hagodol. They only use the title Rebbe by, I don't know if this is true, this is what he told me, by really big, big people. Even though you're dropping the word Hagon. You're dropping the word Hagon. Rebbe, Reish Beis Yud, not with a Reish, with an apostrophe. Rebbe, so-and-so. The next Madrega is Hagoin Rebbe. Hagoin Rebbe is greater than Hagoin Hagodol. Because when you write Hagoin Hagodol, you write Reish apostrophe. Hagoin Hagodol Reish. Higher than that is Rebbe, and the ultimate is Hagoin Rebbe. So we made a pshara, and we wrote about this person. We called him Rebbe. We called him Hagoin. What did we do? I don't know. It was a long time ago. Hagoin Rebbe, which doesn't exist.
95%
Rebbe. Hagoin Rebbe. I don't remember all the details, all right? But I just want to show you that.
You need a scorecard.
There's inflation.
Do another one. Rabbeinu
Harav. What?
Rabbeinu Harav.
Moreno.
No, I don't know if that.
Moreno. It's safer. All right. It's always listed. Rabbeinu Harav.
Rabbi
Lothar.
Yeah.
Just his name.
Do the monument makers know all this?
Yes, they do. They're the experts. But they don't have a choice because the people don't have a choice. The people who do this, they know, they'll tell you right away. But most of the time, they don't have a choice. The people that write the nusach, they're the ones who are paying. They're the satameh hatadeya. The ones that are paying the money, they're the ones who tell the money makers what to do. I just saw they have a Rav Yosef's matseva. They had a picture. What did they write? Rabban shall call Yisrael. Rabban shall call Yisrael. It's a very nice thing to write. They wrote about Rav Yoshe Ber. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. All it says is, Rabban shall call Yisrael. Rav Agi said, I think it says, Rabban shall call Yisrael the Hagoyla. I think, I don't know. It'll be in the newspaper this week. Look at the newspaper. I'm sure they'll have the picture of the Matseva. You'll see there what it says.
The space constraints.
There's no space constraints.
One of my responses so far, not to write any titles.
Any titles at all.
Because he said that when he's in the ground, he has a ghoulish.
I saw him say that. The name was Michal Hamoyel.
Hamoyel.
It didn't say his last name.
He was a Moyel. Okay, you see in some Sarm, Hagoin Ho Amiti. That's a new thing today. Because since every little schnook is already a goin, so they want to differentiate the fakers from the real one. Hagoin ho amiti, he's a real goin. This is all nonsense.
Yes.
It's all total nonsense. It means nothing. And he writes over here, this to write these nuschois is chanifa. Chanifa, it's not such a great idea to write these out. Let's finish up this halacha over here. Halacha Zayin, let's just finish up. We have only two more to go to finish up this simin. Zayin, Beliba, and Barabam, Deloy, Hisira, Hatara, Belav, Ze, Ella, Al Sinna, Belav. The prohibition of Sinna, Le Sisne, Sachicha, Belavach, is in the heart. Avla Machis, Chaber, Behamachorfo, Alpishan, Rishai, Eno, Ever, Alav, Ze. If you hit someone, you chayef other aveos. But you're not chayef Le Sisne, Sachicha, is a mitzvah relates to the person's heart, not to doing a maisa. Okay, ches, next page, what does it say ches is referring to? Sheyishma lo, don't give a person musr unless you know the person is going to listen. If the person is not going to listen, then don't give a musr because mutav sheyishoygen v'ayu meizidim. Ayavon Avram, the chaver afiluim yodea shelo yishma lo chayv lo chichoy. It doesn't matter. When it comes to a din de oiraisa, this is a very big debate, very big controversy. If you know for a fact that your friend is not going to listen to you, are you mechuyev to give him musr? It's a mitzvah de oiraisa. Hoycheach toycheach es amisecha afilu mei upon him. Let's say the person is not going to listen to to you. Are you mechuyev still to give him mussar? So most of the poskim, they differentiate between a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabbanan. When it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, don't give him mussar if you know he's not going to listen to you, because that's not chiv d'oraisa. And mutav sheyushoygin v'alyu mezidin, and it's not a good idea that he should come to hate you. If you're going to give him mussar and he's not going to listen to you, he's going to resent it and he's going to hate you. So since only d'rabbanan, it's not d'oraisa, best thing is cut your losses, stay away and don't give him mussar. But when it comes to a mitzvah d'oraisa, even though he's not going to listen to you, it doesn't free you from your obligation. You never know what it can do years down the line. You're still mechuyev to give him mussar, even though he certainly will not listen to you. And that's what the Magen Avraham says. Afilu im yodea shelo yishma loy, it does not matter. It does not free from your obligation. Chayv lo yichicho v'chein hu b'shuchner chagoyin of Shlomo Zalman in the shuchner charaf. The davka b'ish Acher aminan beim lo yishma lo yein tzorch lo yichicho v'lo b'chaver. Only when it comes to a stranger. As he's differentiating here, the shuchner charaf, a stranger and your friend. Someone that you don't know. I don't know this person, so you don't know who he is, yinam chuyiv. But someone that you know, he's an acquaintance, he's your relative, he's your friend, that person's on a different level, you mechuyev to give him mussar. Elim hu shoygeg aminim mutav shi shoygeg lo yemez. And now we get into the discussion, is that the difference between if he's a shoygeg, he's zomer, is matter heter, between a deraisa and a derabon. Okay, that concludes these halachas. So we're up to Siman Lamed Rechilus and Lashon Hara Nekim Letiyah. That will pick up Yit Hashem on Monday, a new Siman Lamed. Let's take a little break.